Hello, everybody. Welcome to Calvary and our online service this Wednesday. We've got a lot of things going on and just trying to keep moving forward in this time of difficulty. We're going to start with a word of prayer, and obviously we want to continue to pray for all those that are sick with COVID-19 here in the United States, around the world. We want to pray for those families who have lost loved ones, that God will give them comfort. And remember that COVID-19 is not the only thing going on in the world, that there are still people battling cancer and other sicknesses and things. There are troubles in families and all sorts of things, financial troubles in these families who have lost their jobs. So there's a lot of things that we want to pray for. As a church family, we want to pray for the Barnes family. Brother Billy Barnes has been promoted to glory. He's gone on to be with the Lord, and we want to pray for all of his family. God will give him comfort. Almost 54 years, Brother Billy has been a faithful member and just an incredible leader here at Calvary, and we're thankful for his faithful service as a deacon. And he's just been a tremendous blessing to this church and to so many people who he taught the Word of God to and encouraged and helped. And so pray for that family. We're thankful for the promise and hope of eternal life through Christ. We know that Brother Billy is with our Savior. We know that he's not suffering anymore. We know that he's been reunited with Sister Melba and others. And so we're thankful for that. But we do want to pray that God will comfort the family. The services are going to be graveside services tomorrow. So remember the family in prayer tomorrow at noon at the Upper Camp Creek Cemetery. And so just remember that. Pray for them. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer now. Tonight we're going to be studying from 1 Peter chapter 4 and learning about how we need to minister to one another. So let's pray together and we'll get into the Word. Our Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne of grace again tonight, we thank you for the opportunity that we can still gather, though it's a different way, that we can come together around your Word. Lord, I pray that you would bless your church and help us to be faithful to you and to do so much the more to encourage one another in this time of difficulty. We pray for those families who have lost loved ones, that you would comfort their hearts and give them peace, and that they would turn to you, and that by your Spirit you would give them grace and comfort. We pray for those who are sick, Lord, from COVID-19 and so many other things that are going on in the world. We pray for healing. We pray for mercy. We pray for grace. Lord, not only physical healing, but we pray for the spiritual healing of our nation and of our world, that in this time of crisis, people would turn to you, that they would repent of their sin and unbelief, that they would trust in the finished work of Christ our Savior. I pray that Christians would be motivated to stand up and to speak out the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, just help us to use every opportunity you give us, and just help us, Lord. Please forgive us where we fail you. And we pray that you'll be with us through our time together in your Word. Lord, we pray a special prayer for the Barnes family, that you'll give them comfort and grace in these next few days especially, but in all the days and weeks and months and years to come. Lord, we're so thankful for the life and the service of Brother Billy and Sister Melba and the way that they lived for you, the testimony that they had here at Calvary, and how they were so faithful for so long. We just thank you for them and thank you for the legacy that they've left here. Pray that you'll comfort their families' hearts. And as we turn to your Word now, I pray that you would give us ears to hear, that we would have a willingness to hear your Word, a desire to be obedient, and just bless our time together. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're in 1 Peter chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 7 through 11 for our text tonight as we come to the last lesson in our series, One Another. If you missed out on any of these, you can go back to calvarymuldrow.com and find this series of lessons in the sermons there and listen back through those as God's Word has encouraged us to love one another, to serve one another, minister to one another, and all of these great admonitions of Scripture. Because God hasn't called us to do this Christian life alone. He's called us to do it together, one another, loving and serving him. And so tonight, minister to one another. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7, the Word of God says, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So we look here to 1 Peter chapter 4. We see a church that's going through all kinds of trouble and things, and we'll talk about that in a little more in depth in a minute. But understand tonight that God has a specific calling for every one of his children. And our lives, our jobs, our callings specifically may be different, but God has called all of us to minister to one another. Verse 7 in our text says that the context of our passage, Peter says, the end of all things is at hand. What Peter's referring to is the return of Jesus Christ, and it's imminent. And because Jesus is coming again, he's coming soon, we need to live in light of his coming. We need to live in light of the fact that Jesus is coming again, to live with an expectancy, a constant expectancy that Jesus Christ is coming again. Now, Jesus has promised to return, and he's promised and forewarned us that before he comes again, there's going to be difficult days. There's going to be troublesome times. And so in 1 Peter, the early church was going through a lot of difficulties that are hard for us as American Christians in 2020 to understand. But it was probably written between 63 and 64 AD. And during that time, a fire raged through Rome. It burned about three quarters of the city. Now, Emperor Nero was looking for a scapegoat. He was looking for somebody to blame, and so he blamed the Christians, those Christ followers. And so intense persecution came under Nero on the Christians. And the first century historian Tacitus writes about what was going on and the persecution that came. Listen to this. Therefore, first those were seized who admitted their faith, and then, using the information they provided, a vast multitude were convicted, not so much for the crime of burning the city, but for hatred of the human race. And perishing, they were additionally made into sports. They were killed by dogs, by having the hides of beasts attached to them, or they were nailed to crosses, or set aflame, and when the daylight passed away, they were used as nighttime lamps. The persecution that came on the church during Nero's time and during the time that Peter wrote this epistle is a time of persecution that we can barely understand. Human beings literally used as torches, and just horrific things happened to them. Now, it was in the midst of these trials that Peter reminds the church. He doesn't say, run away, hide, take care of yourself, you know, just look out for you. But he admonished them in the midst of all of this terrible persecution to minister one to another. Now, our circumstances are vastly different today. We don't have any kind of persecution like this in the United States. Now, there is this kind of persecution in other countries around the world where Christians are being martyred for their faith on a daily basis. But even though we have different circumstances, the reality is the same. God has called his children to minister to one another, to encourage one another, to serve one another today. So how do we do that? Number one, notice we need to minister in love. Minister in love. Ministry starts with who we are, not what we do. Ministry starts with who we are, not what we do. We're born again. When you repent of your sin and put your faith in Christ, you're born again of the Spirit of God. His Spirit lives inside of you, and he changes you from the inside out. And as you walk in the Spirit will flow out of you, and you'll do things based on who you are as a new creature in Christ. If we're going to minister in love, we need to be passionate about the way that we serve others. Be passionate. In verse 8, we read, "And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves." Fervent charity. Fervent means to be earnest, to be intent, to be constant. And so a church that is fulfilling its purpose is one that's characterized by an intense, loving spirit for God and for one another. Our natural tendency as human beings is to be self-centered, to just do what we want to do what makes us comfortable, to take care of what we want. We can even make what we do for God about us. We can make serving God and living for God and worshiping God and even just coming to church, we can make those things about what we get out of it. That's our natural man, our natural tendency. But God has called us to reach out in love. It's not about me. It's not about what I get out of it, but it's about what God wants to give to others through me as a vessel meet for the Master's use. Now, Warren Wiersbe said this about the word fervent. The word pictures an athlete straining to reach the goal. It speaks of eagerness and intensity. Christian love is something we have to work at just the way an athlete works on his skills. It's not a matter of emotional feeling, though that is included, but of dedicated will. So when we think about fervent charity, it's not just an idea of this emotion and I feel warm, nice, fuzzy feelings towards other people, but this is something that we have to be dedicated to. This is something that we have to be intentional about. It's something that requires an intensity, like an athlete that's striving for a goal. So we've got to be passionate in our love one to another. It doesn't come naturally. This is supernatural. The old man is put away. The new man is growing day by day, being renewed day by day, the new man, the inner man. And that's where this comes from, a heart of love that comes from the love of Christ that he shed abroad in our hearts. So we need to be passionate. And then to minister in love, we need to be positive. Be positive. In verse 8, he says, above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Charity will cover the multitude of sins. Now, this is not like sweeping something under the rug. This isn't trying to pretend like nobody's done anything wrong. It's not that we ignore sin, but what it means is we don't broadcast when someone else does wrong, that we are not trying to gossip and backbite and do those things. And it also means that when sin has been repented of, it's covered up through the forgiveness and mercy and restoration of God. We don't hold on to those things. Whether it's our sin or somebody else's sin, we don't hold on to it. We forgive and we move on. We move on. So Psalm 103 in verse 12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. If you were to get a globe and spin it around, you could go east forever and ever and ever and ever, and you would never stop going east. You could turn around and go the other way. You could go west forever and ever and ever and ever and never get there. And God has infinitely separated our sins and transgressions from us. That's by his great love. So it's his love that takes away our sins, and it's our love for others that makes it a covering. This is an Old Testament truth, Proverbs 10:12. Hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. And so love is what takes care of that sin. Love is what gets it out of the way. Love is what allows us to move on, to forgive one another, to minister to one another, to serve one another. So we minister in love. We do it passionately. We do it with a purpose. We do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. But we've got to do it in a positive way. God wants us to be positive in our ministering to one another. It's a good thing to serve others. Number two, not only do we minister in love, but we minister with hospitality. Minister with hospitality. In verse 9, our text says to use hospitality. Now, using hospitality means to be loving to guest or stranger. Notice that he uses the word use or use. This is the tool of hospitality. Hospitality is like a tool. Hospitality, being kind and loving to guests and strangers, being kind and loving to other people, it works to open hearts. Now, it works in opening hearts in our fellowship with other believers. It also works in opening hearts with unbelievers, with people who are not saved. So when we are kind and loving to other people, when we have a hospitable nature, then it opens up doors for the gospel. In the New Testament times, hospitality was absolutely vital. There weren't very many inns. They didn't have a Holiday Inn around on every corner or Motel 6 to leave the light on. There weren't very many inns around, and poor Christians couldn't afford to stay in them anyway. So they depended on the love and hospitality of others to take care of them when they were traveling. Persecuted Christians in particular, They needed other people to care for them. When they were run away from their homes, when they were persecuted and scattered abroad, they needed the love of others to help them in all that they were going through. Archaeologists have excavated homes in the ancient city of Ephesus, and they've found a particular carving called the ichthys, chiseled into stone. Now, early Christians put this stone at the front of their doorstep, and it was a combination of Greek letters that stood for this: Jesus Christ, God's Son, Savior. Now, we know this today as the fish symbol, the ichthys. It's that fish symbol that you see on so many times on people's cars. These have been excavated in the ancient city of Ephesus, an early sign of Christians and a secret sign of Christians as they were under so much persecution. And they had it there to let people know, we believe in Jesus Christ, and the people who are in this home worship God and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. So what an incredible testimony for us today. But it's got to be more than just a symbol. It's got to be more than just a symbol on a necklace or a symbol on a bumper sticker. It's got to be something that comes from our heart, and we use the tool of hospitality. Hospitality is so significant that Paul gives it as a requirement for pastors. When we look at 1 Timothy 3:2, a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. Again in Titus 1:8, a pastor, a bishop, has to be a lover of hospitality. It's something that God wants a man of God who's leading his churches to be hospitable. But it's not limited only to pastors. God calls every Christian to care for others through hospitality. Romans chapter 12 and verse 13 says, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Given to hospitality. Hospitality is a powerful tool that demonstrates Christ's love and acceptance to others. And what a time for us today. Obviously, the hospitality that we have today and during this virus and this outbreak is a little bit different. It's not like it normally is, where you can invite lots of people over to your house for dinner. And we have to find different ways to go about being hospitable today. But it's just as important in the middle of a pandemic, if not more important in the middle of a pandemic, to be hospitable, to look for ways to love others. He says there in Romans 12:13, distributing to the necessity of the saints. That means meeting the needs of others. When you see somebody in need, find a way to meet that need. And I just want to tell everybody out there that if you have a need, Calvary stands ready to meet any needs that we possibly can, to help you with your groceries or to pick up your medicine if you can't get out, and all those things that are difficult for people right now. We can't help everybody, but we can help some, and we stand ready to help all that we can, because we want to show the hospitality, we want to show the love of Christ. And it's been a blessing to see in our church and in other churches around the country and around the world, people stepping up to help those in need. And that's what we want to do, show the love of Christ, demonstrate it by meeting the needs of others, distributing to the necessity of the saints, and being given to hospitality, willing to share with how God's blessed us, share in our blessing with others that are in need. So we see the tool of hospitality. Next, notice the test of hospitality. Being hospitable is important, but so is the manner in which we are hospitable. Verse 9 says, use hospitality one to another without grudging. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. The word grudging means murmuring. It's a secret displeasure. So God wants us to have hospitality and to use hospitality as a tool to show love to one another and to minister to one another, but he wants us to do it with the right heart. Doing the right thing is always important, but doing the right thing with the right heart is even more important. Our actions have to come from the heart. A lady spent all day preparing dinner for some people. They had invited several people over. Obviously, it wasn't during the coronavirus outbreak, but when the guests arrived, she asked her three-year-old daughter to ask the blessing on the food. She wanted her to pray. And the little girl was shy. She said, "Mama, I don't know what to say." And she said, the mother said, "Honey, just say what Mommy said at lunchtime." And the little girl bowed her head and said, "Dear Jesus, why did I invite these people to have supper with us tonight? Amen." You know, sometimes when you you want to do the right thing. It seems to be that it's become so much work and so difficult that we don't have the right heart. And it takes effort to be hospitable. It takes effort to show love to others. It takes effort to meet the needs of others. But that has to come from a right heart. We can't have that negative attitude and not have that grudgingness that we're doing it because we feel like we have to. We have to come from a heart of love. I love God. He's blessed me so much. We have an opportunity to be a blessing to someone else. And it's a joy to our heart to serve others. It's a joy to our heart to give to others. So we minister in love. We minister with hospitality. And number three tonight, we minister with wisdom. We minister with wisdom. God's gifted everybody in the church with certain spiritual gifts. And he wants us to use those gifts to minister to others. The New Testament lists out in a few different passages spiritual gifts and lines those things out for us. Romans chapter 12 is one that we looked at an earlier lesson in this series, One Another. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is another place where the scripture lays out those spiritual gifts. And then here in 1 Peter chapter 4. Now, we're not going to take the time right now to get in the differences between the miraculous sign gifts that were in the early church and the ministry or service gifts that are abiding here. We just want to focus on a few of those here as we're challenged, first of all, to discover our gifts. Discover our gifts. In verse 10 in our text, it says, "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." Now, in my time in the ministry, I've had a lot of people say to me that they don't have any gifts, that they see other people have these gifts and abilities and talents, and they just don't have any. And that simply is not true. The Word of God says that he has given gifts to every man. Every person in the church has been gifted by God. Every one of us has different gifts. We don't have the same gifts. We're all members, one of another, each of us unique, each of us individuals, each of us having our differing characteristics and abilities that God has given us and the gifts of the Spirit, and all of us come together to work together in harmony to do the work that God's called us to do. But understand, we don't have the same gifts, but we all have gifts. A gift is a gift of divine grace. It's an enablement of the Holy Spirit of God. And God has enabled us with gifts for the purpose of edifying or building up other people in the church. Every gift and talent God gives is because of his grace. God hasn't gifted you because of anything that's special about us. What makes us special is his love for us and his grace that he's poured out on us. It's all him, and he gets all the glory. They're not for us to draw attention to ourselves, but for us to serve others. The word minister is to serve. It's to be a servant or even a slave or an attendant. It's to wait upon somebody else. Somehow over the years, we've taken this word minister and we've turned it into something else. Something where somebody might be lifted up with pride and say, "Well, I'm a minister of the Lord. I'm a minister of the gospel," and to be prideful about that. There's nothing prideful about it at all. A minister is a servant, and God has called all of us to serve one another in the church. And we're to do that through the gifts that he's given us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7, he says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all." In other words, each one in the church has been given gifts. He's writing there at Corinth to the church, and to those in the church, he says, the Spirit's made manifest, the Spirit is shown, and he's given to everyone gifts to profit everyone. And so he gives me to help you, and he gives you to help me, and he gives all of us to help one another. In 1 Corinthians 12:25, he goes on and says that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. So when you take all of that passage in its entirety, you'll see it starts with he gives it, he manifests his gifts in people to profit one another, and the whole purpose is so that we can care one for another. Romans chapter 12 gives a list of different gifts that God uses in the church today. He talks about prophecy or preaching the word of God. You might also take that as an idea of discernment or understanding. Service, teaching, encouragement, giving, ruling, or we might say administration and mercy. All of those gifts are things that God has given in the church today. And whatever gift God has given you, you want to find what that gift is, discover that gift, develop it through prayer and Bible study and application, and deploy it in serving the Lord. Whatever gifts he's given us, we want to minister to one another. Verse 10 in our text says, minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. See, all of these gifts, they're not something that's in us. It's not us. It's what he's given to us, and it's the manifold grace of God. It's the evident grace of God, the overflowing grace of God, and he's given us all of these different gifts to use for his glory, to serve one another. So we develop our gifts through use, and 1 Timothy 4:7 says, exercise thyself rather unto godliness. If you're going to learn how to use your gift, you're going to have to do it by reason of use. Do it by reason of use. So when we do these things, we do it through the power of God for the glory of God. Gifts like mercy and teaching require speaking. In verse 11, he says, we're to speak. If any man speak, let him speak as of the oracles of God. In other words, when we speak, it's not about what I say. I'm just trying to speak God's word. When we speak, we're to take the truth of God's word and speak that truth to other people. So it's always going to be about him. It's always going to point back to him. Ministering to one another is always going to point back to God, because we do it. It's his grace, it's his gifts, and it's for his glory. He says in verse 11, we minister as of the ability which God giveth. This is not about something that we do in our own strength. It's all about him. So we discover our gift, we develop our gift, and we deploy our gift by serving other people in the church. Curtis Hudson said one time, the measure of a man's greatness is not how many people serve him, but how many people he serves. It's not about how many serve us. It's about how many we serve. There's greatness in humility and serving other people. Galatians 5:13 says, for brethren, you've been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. And so when we have been set free by the grace of Jesus Christ and his salvation, and he has given us new life, we're to use that new life, use that freedom, not to fulfill the lusts of the flesh, but to love one another and to serve one another. Booker T. Washington was an educator. He was an author, an orator, and he was an advisor to multiple presidents back in the late 1800s and early 1900s. And he said, Booker T. Washington said, I think I began learning long ago that those who are happiest are those who do the most for others. Those who are happiest are those who do the most for others. There is great joy in helping other people. Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. It's better for us to serve others, and there is great joy for us in the spirit and in our hearts and minds when we give and serve and do for others. In Mark chapter 10, verse 45, an incredible statement is made when the word of God says, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. What an incredible truth. What an amazing, wonderful, glorious truth. To understand that the God who created the universe, the one who breathed the stars into existence, the one who made the sun and the moon and the stars and the planets and this planet and every living thing that's on this planet, the one who holds it all together by the word of his power, he came and became one of us and lived a perfect and sinless life. And he didn't come here. He didn't come here to be ministered unto, but he came to minister. He came to serve. He came to serve us and to love us. He brought himself low to show us how we ought to live. And as though it wasn't enough for him to come and to minister to the needs of us, the needs of mankind, but he came to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus Christ loves the whole world. He gave his life for the whole world. He's the propitiation for our sins, but not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And you consider the love of Christ and what he's done for us and how he humbled himself. Why would it be so difficult for us to humble ourselves? As in everything that we study in Scripture, what we need to do is look to Christ. He is the author of our faith. He is the finisher of our faith. And he is the one who began a good work in us. And he is the one who will continue and finish that good work that he began in us. I pray that God would help all of us to look outside of ourselves, to look to the needs of others, to look to the needs of those that are closest to you. Don't just look at yourself, but look at those in your family. Look at your spouse. Look at your children. Look at your parents. Look at your extended family. Don't just look in your family, though. Look beyond your family. Look to your neighbors. Look to your friends and your coworkers. Look to others, especially those that are vulnerable and in great need right now. We've got to get out of ourselves and look to others. Use hospitality, minister and serve and love one another out of a right heart so that God can use us and use that ministry to open people's hearts, to grow us in our fellowship as a church, but as we go beyond the church, to open people's hearts to the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we can be witnesses for him. No greater love could ever be known than the love of Christ who died for us. And may God let us have that love in our lives, in our hearts, towards others, that we would give our lives in service to him by serving others. I want to thank you so much for joining with us tonight, and I pray God's word has been an encouragement to your heart. I want to remind you again, if you have any needs, to please reach out to us. Reach out to us here on Facebook. Reach out to us by phone or however you can, but we want to help you. We want to try to meet the needs of others the best that we can. I want to encourage you to pray with me now. If God has convicted your heart tonight, maybe you've never been born again tonight, you're watching and you know that if you died tonight, you would not spend eternity in heaven with God. You know that you need to be saved. I want to plead with you to turn away from your sin and unbelief, to put your faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. He did everything. He did the work when he died on the cross. He paid the way. He finished what had to be done for you to be saved. And if you want to be saved tonight, all you have to do is turn from your sin, put your faith in Jesus, pray and ask him to forgive you, ask him to be your savior, and you can have eternal life tonight. For those who are saved and those in the church, may God stir up our hearts. And when he puts somebody on your mind, when you just have that thought, I wonder how so-and-so's doing, stop what you're doing. Call them or text them or message them. Reach out to them in some way and let them know that you're thinking about them. Let's pray one for another. And if God's put any kind of burden on your heart tonight, make sure to be quick to repent, to confess to the Lord, because when we confess, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So if there's anything that you need to get right in your heart with the Lord tonight, you do it right now as we pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you again for the opportunity to come together in this way. I pray, Father, for those who are not saved, that even now they would turn away from their sin and unbelief. They would put their faith and trust completely in the finished work of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins and rose again. I pray that the lost right now would cry out to you in prayer, seeking your forgiveness and your salvation. Lord, I pray that you would fill them with your Holy Spirit and let your Spirit bear witness with their spirit so that they would know they have eternal life. And Lord, I pray that you would help all of us to trust in you with all our hearts. I thank you for those who are saved, and I pray that you would help us to love you and to love one another. Lord, that you would open up our eyes and help us to look out and see the needs of others. And Lord, to meet those needs, to do good to all men, especially to those of the household of faith. I pray that you would help us through this time and give us wisdom. Again, I pray for the Barnes family, that you give them comfort and grace and bless them. Please continue to be with all those families who have lost loved ones. Lord, just give them grace. And Father, help us to love you, to be witnesses for you every way that we can. And Lord, we love you, we thank you, and we pray that you'll bless. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you so much again for joining in tonight. And I want to invite you to our drive-in services Sunday morning at 11 a.m. and Sunday evening at 6 p.m. We'll have the sound equipment set up outside so you can come up in your car. You can even bring your camping chairs and sit with your family. We'll be outside, and please come and join us for worship. It's a little bit different, but it's special. Awesome time together outside and worship. So pray that God will give us good weather and join us for that. If you can't get out, we understand that, and would encourage you to join in here. We will be live streaming both of those services on Sunday. God bless you. We love you. We're praying for you, and we look forward to seeing you very soon.